listening to Spitball with Adri Ballhawk Mellows and Marcus Innuendo Bingo Henson.
Hello, and welcome to episode 48 of Spitball. I'm your host, Adri Ballhawk Mallows. Joining me, as always, is the legendary, the master of innuendo, the favouritest of favourite co-hosts,
Marcus Innuendo Bingo Henson.
How are you, buddy?
I'm very good, thank you.
Excellent. How have you been since last week, sir?
Really, really well. The team is shaping up really nicely, keep me very busy, but currently start of this year's uni has been amazing.
And this is the Marjon Lions rather than just your fantasy team keeping you busy, yes?
Yes.
Excellent. So, as always, if people happen to be down in the Plymouth area or even at university in Plymouth, how can they get hold of yourself or anyone at the Marjon Lions?
Best way is to go onto Facebook and find us at Marjon University American Football Club. And just like us from there, and we keep all our players and everyone else who's interested updated through that.
Excellent. Joining us on the show this week, we also have a guest slash co-host. I guess you would call him a guest host then in that sense. And that is a fellow Spartans player, Lewis Crawley. How are you, sir?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, very good, thank you, sir. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Not a problem. Thank you very much for having me.
So, an introduction to Lewis. Lewis is one of our young quarterbacks, but not only is he a member of the Spartans, but he is also the drummer of the band Cries Wolf. So maybe you could just introduce our listeners to your band and give a little bit of background on yourself, Lewis.
Yeah, of course. The band I play for is Cries Wolf. I recently joined them this year in February. Got loads of good stuff coming up ahead. Going back into the recording studio, we've got an EP to release later this year, and we've got quite a good following. We're in the style of Ben Howard's and the 1975, so kind of a really laid-back, chilled, upbeat vibe. But at the same time, if you'd like to get hold of us, you can always hit up our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/ Cries Wolf Music. And the same again is at Cries Wolf Music for Twitter. But keep up to date with us there and then, and we'll hopefully you can join our journey.
Excellent. And on to the American football side, you're a Green Bay Packers fan, is that correct?
I am indeed. Cheesehead till I die.
Fair play. Well, there's got to be one, I suppose, outside of Wisconsin, but there you go. Nice. And on that note, we move on to the next part of the show.
You are listening to Spitball.
Week 3 is now in the books. Marcus, where would you like to start our roundup?
I think best place to start a roundup is the grudge match, the repeat of last year's Super Bowl, Denver versus Seattle.
That would be an interesting place to start. Yeah, in Seattle as well. So if the noise at the Super Bowl wasn't bad enough, Denver going into Seattle, very hostile place at the best of times. And their first play from scrimmage started off in a similar vein to the Super Bowl, with it leading to a turnover with Monte Ball getting tackled and fumbling straight away.
Yeah, and it doesn't help when you're so error-esque in the same sort of thing, you know. It's like, oh dear, here comes history to repeat itself again.
It sure started off that way, and throughout the course of the game, Seattle were kind of controlling the ball, even pulling out the trick plays with a nice little pitch and catch to Russell Wilson, which there seemed to be quite a bit of this week, didn't there, in the NFL or around the league?
Yeah, definitely. I think we saw it again in the Cincinnati game, if I'm correct, Sanu to Andy Dalton, which was quite something.
Yeah, that one even went for a touchdown as well, didn't it? I saw that again today on LFN AM, where they were showing all the touchdowns again. So managed to catch a glimpse of that little cheeky sort of 15-yarder lob out to Andy Dalton. So he's obviously on a lot of offensive coordinator boards this week to see if they could try it out. But I think throughout that game, though, despite the shakiness of the Denver offense, the Denver defense had a hell of a game. And DeMarcus Ware, he may not necessarily have the stats to show for it, but I think in the grand scheme of things, you'll see how well he played and the impact he had on that Denver defense.
Just sitting there looking at it at 17-3, it's almost a done deal. But then the way they came back into it, it was the defense that sort of brought the life back into the game, sort of resuscitated the offense. So then that way they could somehow get it back at least to go into overtime, because at one point, especially going into the fourth quarter, I honestly thought we were talking about game over here. Oh, Denver, what have you done? But they just came back. The defense worked itself into a good position to just shut down Seattle. Yeah. And unfortunately, on that all-important overtime drive, they just didn't have an answer for it and didn't give themselves a chance to let Peyton at least have a go.
Yeah, that's very true. I remember watching whilst watching a couple of the highlights, especially in the morning, on the final, on the game ender by Marshawn Lynch. You could see, I mean, he done it incredibly well. He weaved in between them, then just dived straight over and kind of, you know, just, you know, ended the game for the Broncos. But yeah, I think easily we can say that, yeah, as Marcus said, you know, the defense definitely put up a good fight to you know, try and pull the offense back into the game. And I think where they were doing it, they definitely you know, kind of gave him a bit of a morale boost, so to speak.
Yeah, 100%. And I think moving forward, if that Denver defense continues to play like that, then we can see them getting back to the latter stages of the AFC playoffs and maybe even going back to the Super Bowl, especially as New England are playing so badly at the moment, which we'll come on to in a bit as well.
Yeah, I think if there's one highlight play that I've definitely got to pull up about the Seahawks Broncos game, the best part of it was the double coverage catch by Demaryius Thomas to Peyton Manning running across. Demaryius Thomas running across the back of the end zone in the smallest gap, and he got it straight to him. I thought that was a great pass, great catch by Demaryius Thomas.
And that was the one with the game on the line as well, wasn't it? So
it was the touchdown
that led to the tying 2-point conversion.
Yeah, and I think it was an absolutely, I couldn't think of a better way for it to have happened. I think it was a great catch.
And thinking of the fact that it was a great catch, Marcus, do we think it would be something that blew your mind and is worthy of going in the Marcus and the Mind Blowers section of the show notes?
Well, it was on there, but I've made three this week, and that's one of the three.
Excellent. Well, we're going to put all of those in the show notes, and they may also come up at some point within the show. Going to move on now to the next game I want to talk about, and as we were just mentioning New England there, I want to talk about the New England versus Oakland game in Boston in front of a big home crowd. Not really the kind of game you would expect from a New England offense led by Tom Brady. Lewis, what did you think?
I think overall in the game, it was very tightly contested, to say the least. I mean, I think considering that the Raiders came off the heavy loss the week before, the fact that they although they did lose this game as well, but I think they really, really gave it a solid effort in the sense of their defense and their offense. One thing I think to mention was with Derek Carr. I mean, you know, they're going to Revis Island, aren't they? The man that is Darrell Revis. I found out, like, a statistic that out of the 6 passes he threw in the direction of Revis, 5 were complete. So it was kind of putting Darrell off for the game. So there wasn't really much coming from the section of Revis Island.
I believe Revis is the preferred Noma vernacular there, Lewis, but I'm sure we all get your point there. And yeah, thrown towards one of the best cornerbacks in the game. We had a couple of weeks ago where Green Bay decided to just completely ignore Richard Sherman, and you've got the opposite to that where you're attacking the best defender on the opposite side of the ball, and it nearly paid off for him. It was a bold move, shall we say. But Derek Carr, I think, is looking very good for Oakland, and definitely one of the, if not the only, shining light on that Oakland offense, Marcus, apart from maybe James Jones.
Yeah, he's making a great connection with Jones. You can see, especially, he hasn't lost anything of his, like, prime. I mean, the biggest telling point for me with the attitude of the game going in is that Charles Woodson went onto the social media after the big loss and actually said, "Look, guys, we sucked. Sorry, fans, we sucked. No one played up to their abilities and we got whooped." So they came in and they had a massive attitude change, and they sort of came in. You could see they'd done their homework. They looked buzzed. They wanted for the win. I think especially coming off a heavy loss and you're going into quite a difficult stretch for them, you know, going into New England, then having to travel over here to play in Wembley. If you couldn't come away with the upset win in New England, you had to play with the sort of intensity and ferocity that they did just so that way you can progress going forward.
Yeah, that's it, and we'll come on to it later in the show, but that's actually looking like it's going to be a really great game this weekend between Miami and Oakland, with Oakland as the home team at Wembley. But why do we think New England offense is struggling, Marcus, especially now they've got the Gronk back?
For me, I think really the pressure that Raiders created, they almost did the homework. They worked out how to shut down the short game. The short game is what really keeps New England ticking over. The short passes to Edelman especially. Didn't see as much. Amendola does not seem to be integrated into this offense as much as they were saying. Even the commentators in the game were pointing out Amendola really isn't seeing as much of the play as we've been used to seeing.
But that's probably because last year, Amendola, when he first signed, he got injured quite early on, didn't he? So Edelman ended up taking the bulk of the load last year, especially with the Gronk away as well.
I think easily you can say that, Edelman definitely played up to his potential, considering they lost two key weapons, should we say, on their offensive, you know, on their offense. So I think obviously it's, who knows, but definitely I think Edelman definitely filled up the spot last year with those two massive losses to Tom Brady's Arsenal.
And as always, the New England defense seems to be what pulls through in the end with the coaching of Belichick, and now they've got the big man Vince Wilfork back. I think we can't really go through this game without mentioning his interception, albeit a little bit of football pinball down there near the end zone, but the big man still came away with the interception, and defensive tackles coming away with interceptions are few and far between, unlike Marcus's innuendos.
Yeah. Well, it was at a critical time as well, of course, because this was on the drive leading up to what could have been a tie.
Yeah, big, big play from a big, big man. So we'll leave the Oakland-New England game there. Marcus, any other games you want to come on to? I'm sure that if the earlier podcasts are anything to go by, it's going to be very similar to what I have written down in my notes.
yeah, there is. The game I'm really looking forward to talk about was the Washington-Philadelphia game.
Oh, okay. This is awkward. Didn't have that in my notes, but okay, that makes a change. So yes, yeah, please do. I covered it on the blog this week, so I'm fully up to speed with the Redskins and Eagles game. How about yourself, Lewis?
Not as much. I mean, I did see the highlights. I did catch it on Game Pass. I mean, it was an absolutely great game. Both teams fighting straight down, you know, right to the wire. And I think, to be fair, man, DeSean Jackson is is the guy. Nick Foles, you know, absolutely hammered it as well. I think at the same time, Jeremy Maclin definitely showed his worth as well, man. He's I think it was a good game, and plus was it rookie Cody Parkey as well, third field goal, 51 yards, which is pretty good from what I saw. A very good game.
No worries. Well, Marcus, then we come to you in your infinite wisdom to tell us all about the Redskins Eagles game.
I'll make notes.
Well, for me, it was looking at this. This was going to be Cousins' first start, and putting him into that Gruden offense, I thought he was going to be right at home. This game was just crazy. I mean, we anticipated a good matchup, but we're talking nearly 900 yards of offense. There was four lead changes, and really, I think it came down to the fact that both teams, again, we saw Philadelphia getting off to that typical slow start, which they seem to be synonymous for this year. I don't know why exactly they're favoring having to make life hard for themselves and coming from behind in all their games. But it seemed to me that they were like, they didn't understand what they could do. And Washington defense had a great week, of course, last week against Jacksonville, clearly pumped up that they came to show for it. But the cracks just started to form, and really the deep passes from both sides sort of just started to open up the game.
Yeah, DeSean Jackson's touchdown pass was 81 yards, I think, wasn't it?
It was indeed, that is correct, yeah.
Yeah, 81 yards. And I don't know what your thoughts were, Marcus, but when DeSean Jackson did the dirty bird followed by the boot, I actually thought that was quite funny, because the fans were booing DeSean Jackson, but if memory serves, it was the Eagles that cut DeSean Jackson and not DeSean Dax Jackson choosing to leave.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he would. I'm sure if they'd offered him an extension, he would have stayed. I mean, he made himself quite a name for a presence in the city. I think he would have stayed if he chose. So that was more sort of the disgruntledness that he'd felt from being cut.
and from being booed, I think, by the Eagles fans on his return, like I say, because I didn't think he left on bad terms. Did he say anything that we're not aware of?
I don't know, but it seems strange that actually that they were so critical of the fact that you knew he was going to have a good game. Why are we going to like make that the point? I mean, really what it came down to me was the fact that in light of both things, because of course the other person who had a massive day was Matthews, who technically is his replacement.
Well, yeah, that's very true. He's a rookie as well, isn't he, Matthews?
Yes, he is. And we haven't really seen much of him. He had a few bits and pieces in the preseason, which you expect from a rookie, but nothing really substantial. And it seemed they were cluing on Macklin a lot, and of course allowed him to get, especially in that red zone, it allowed him to get open a lot. And there was, you know, some blown coverages, especially the first of his touchdowns, clearly wide open in the end zone.
Yeah, and this actually reminds me, before the show, I was actually finished watching the Jerry Rice A Football Life on NFL Network, and in Jerry Rice's last game for the 49ers, they'd game planned around and tried to make it so that Jerry Rice was going to get a majority of the receptions, but the opposing defense had caught on to that and were like double teaming Jerry Rice all the time, and it ended up being Terrell Owens setting a record, breaking Jerry Rice's record, ironically, for most receptions in a game at 20, just because of the fact that they were too busy concentrating on covering one receiver and forgetting about the others.
There's game plans go, and Eagles have been great this year of clearly tearing up the play, the game plan midway, and then bodging it as they go along, because we've seen it with all their having to come from behind. And I don't think they're really going to want to keep this trend going, because sooner or later they're going to find an opponent which won't let them come back at them.
No, better to leave the record as it stands now at 3 that they've set for being the first team to go, effectively to go 3-0 and to start with a victory when being more than 10 points behind in 10 or more points behind in each game.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think like you mentioned in last week against Jacksonville, I think, and in this week as well, Kirk Cousins has definitely stepped up in as RG3's replacement whilst he's injured, and I think he's been really, really good. I mean, the fact that in the first start he threw what 427 yards and 3 touchdowns when RG3 was injured. I mean, that's something in itself. I know, again, we're talking about, you know, what, about a week, couple of weeks ago now, but it's, yeah, I just thought, you know, like watching highlights of the game and that just in a moment, as you see it run through, he is quite a decent quarterback for a good replacement for RG3.
Well, I think certainly in that particular scheme, he seems to fit in really well, doesn't he? Because with the whole pocket passer that it's modelled around, and they seem to forget the fact that they've got RG3, who is a ridiculously mobile quarterback, and you can't try and train him to be a pocket passer. But that's an argument that myself and Marcus, I'm sure, will continue to have, and even yourself, Lewis, throughout the rest of the year. We'll come on now quickly to another game I want to talk about, and that is the Sunday night game between the Steelers and the Panthers. Marcus, I'm going to come to you first, as always, my friend. Apart from the massive injuries that Pittsburgh seemed to suffer on Sunday night, with an injury to Shazier, their rookie linebacker, Jarvis Jones got injured, even Ike Taylor got injured as well in that game. But other than that, what did you take from it?
Pittsburgh really understanding that they let themselves get behind against Baltimore, and they didn't allow themselves to play the open format football that they need to. I mean, we saw Brown is clearly the number one there in receiving, but it doesn't really seem to be an outstanding matchup. You've got Le'Veon Bell, who's really stepping up in the running game, but there's no balance at the moment. I think that's the problem at the moment. There's no balance at Pittsburgh. So with defense still trying to be what they are, I mean, we've always fought for many a years as Pittsburgh as a defensive team, the ground and pound format. It seemed that they've kind of lost their balance. And I think there's a lot of injuries there that if they're not replaced soon, I mean, if there's not a step-up system and the next guy in is equally as good or can do quite the same, I fear that they might start progressing. However, Carolina at the same time, same thing. No balance. We can't see them progressing with their game. We're 3 games in, and now we should be seeing the game 1, the game 2 kinks, you know, what you didn't get out of preseason smooth through. You can't start ironing out games 3, 4, and 5. You need to be setting where you're going in those games.
Do they need another running back in Carolina? Because D'Angelo Williams doesn't seem to be getting it done, and we all know that a great running game would really take the pressure off of Cam Newton.
Yes, I definitely believe so. I don't know about you, Lewis, but I feel that, again, using that same word, they don't have the balance for me.
Yeah, I mean, looking again, kind of going back to the statistics of the game, you got Stewart and Cam Newton who put up about, believe it or not, rushing wise, 38 yards. So, as you guys have mentioned, they are definitely missing that touch compared to us, where Pittsburgh had an absolutely phenomenal game. Was it Blunt and Bell put up a total of what, 265 yards rushing? So I think, you know, it's definitely a touch Carolina, you know, are missing, considering that Cam Newton put up seven of those rushing yards.
Yeah, definitely. And just coming back to Pittsburgh, Antonio Brown had another massive game for them, getting two touchdowns. And I was listening to the NFL Network earlier, and there's talk of him being a potentially a top four receiver this year, Marcus, and maybe even last year. I think they said he was, I think, second in receptions. I can't remember who he was second to, but he was second in the league in receptions and only second in the league in touchdowns to Calvin Johnson. So I think, showing that he is definitely a top receiver.
Yeah, for me, he's got to step up. But the problem is, who's around him? Now, Wheaton seems to be number two, but really, Wheaton, I'm not seeing anyone else. I know you've still got, tight end there, Heath Miller. But the fact is, there's no real core. You know when they say the receiving core? All I really see when I think of Pittsburgh is I think of Brown. I don't think of a receiving core. You know, there's that lack of depth and the ability to plan around just that one person. Now, it worked for them, of course, because the fact is Carolina just did not have an answer. And ultimately, you saw the two defenses. Early on, it was just all field goals. And you could see that it was the two defenses battling it out. But sooner or later, defenses, you know, they might be able to stem the flow, but they're not going to staunch the bleeding.
No, and I think Pittsburgh maybe have tried to concentrate too much in their drafting on the defensive picks, because they have always been known as a defense first, run second, and then anything after that is a bonus kind of team, aren't they? So, yeah. Despite having one of the elite quarterbacks of this last generation, horrible word to use, generation, but you know what I mean. So the Mannings, the Bradys, Rivers, the other Manning, even Rodgers is kind of a crossover, isn't he, really?
Yeah,
just kind of coming into the new breed, but then as opposed to the new generation, which is your Andrew Luck, your RG3s,
Andy Dalton,
people like that. I think we just want to quickly get a few words from both of you about the Chicago and New York Jets game before we move it on. So, Marcus, I'm going to come to you first. A few words on Geno Smith.
Yeah, I was liking his development the first two games of the season, and this seemed like another step backwards.
Yeah, three turnovers will do that for you.
No pun intended, right?
Yeah, it's kind of any more, and he'll stop. We'll have to be calling them Geno's apple turnovers, won't we?
Exactly that. I think further to what Marcus said, I couldn't agree more, mate. To be in the sense that, I mean, you look up the points that they put up against Green Bay in week two, wasn't it? Our last game. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm incredibly happy we came back, but of course, speaking from a biased point of view, there, you know, just in the circumstance. But yeah, it was definitely a step back considering that, yeah, you know, the success they had last week. And yeah, I think you're very right there.
Yeah, I think a lot of their success last week, that was probably down to their running game, because Chris Ivory and Chris Johnson were both had reasonable games, and more Chris Ivory, I think, than Chris Johnson, and that seemed to be what did the damage against Green Bay. But against what is looking like a stout Chicago defense again, they just weren't able to get the run going at all this week. And more to the point, they seem to be treating both running backs as like number one running backs instead of having a clear number one and a clear number two. So neither running back knows whether they're coming or going at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. No, can agree with that. But I think definitely a highlight of the old game was the older Monday interception, wasn't it, on the screen?
Yeah, Monday night football, Monday night interception, Monday night touchdown, and all the other puns that you want to throw in there. So we will leave that there for our game recap of week three.
National Podcast Day is coming September 30th. But what is National Podcast Day? Well, it's pretty simple, and you can help spread the word. National Podcast Day is dedicated to promoting podcasting worldwide through public engagement. You may be asking, what can I do to get involved on National Podcast Day? It's easy. Head over to nationalpodcastday.com and check the suggestions. But ultimately, the options are endless. Remember, September 30th, nationalpodcastday.com.
So, Marcus, what's been grinding your gears this week?
Well, actually, this is kind of a unique week because I'm having such a good week that even in the land of NFL, I can't find any gears to grind. Aww.
That is not acceptable. I have a whole 5 minutes set aside for you to have some gears to grind, and you have nothing for me.
I can't really make a whole 5 minutes on some of the misgivings.
You don't want to come back to the officials again when someone makes a diving interception, or it's called a diving interception, but the ball hits the ground and they still call it an interception anyway. Don't want to talk about that, no?
there's always stuff going on week in, week out with the NFL that we could make an entire just podcast on gear grinds. No, this week, I think in NFL land, not everything is right at the moment, but the football itself on the pitch, it's been a high standard. This week was quite a high standard. I was happy with it, minus Rams letting a 21-point loss go. Grr. Honestly, I'm in too good of spirits to be grinding any gears.
Fair enough. Well, in which case then, I'm going to take over the mantle a little bit.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Penalties in key situations and bad decisions made by coaches. Now, penalties, particularly offensive penalties, were killer this week. There was a massive one-handed catch by DeAndre Hopkins. Now, I'm sure both of you may have seen this. One of the most obscene catches you're going to see in your life. Diving backwards, pulling it in with one hand, gained about 30, 40 yards, and it's pulled back because of an offensive holding penalty. I had to bleep myself there. It's just a joke. When are they going to learn? Block properly. Don't hold. Stop killing yourself with big plays with penalties. And poor coaching decisions in the Monday night football game. We saw one of the Jets coaches calling a timeout just as Geno Smith took the snap and then threw what would have been a go-ahead touchdown. So come on, people. Sort it out. Sort out your penalties. Sort out your bad coaching decisions. And I'm going to leave it there and say that this week is what really grinded my gears.
Who are you? I don't even know your name. What's your name? Turn around. Let me see your name. Turn around. Let me see your name. Turn around. I don't know you, bro.
You're having one of those days. Hey, baby. You're having one of those days.
I say that to say this. If you wouldn't have did what you would have did, then we wouldn't have been where we was at to get what we got.
That just don't make no sense, dog.
Marcus, put your shoe on. Jeez.
I can't face with these clothes.
I'm a teeth.
I think I chipped my tooth.
Wish I had some gold so you can buy me some teeth.
Now, on a happier note, we come to our awards. Now, Lewis, I'm sure you're familiar with this. We have our offensive impact
player,
known as the award, and also our defensive impact
player,
known as the Mr. Ray Lewis Award. So I believe you may have some notes for us on that. So what I'm going to do, we're going to start this week with our award, and I'm going to let you kick it off, Lewis, with your offensive impact
player.
I think it's got to be, man. He had excellent points in fantasy. He done really well, and he just racked up some decent stats. It's got to be Andy Luck, man. He had a great, great game this week. 330 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, 31 completions out of 39 passes. Couldn't be any more than that. So, Andrew Luck, this one's for you, man. You get the award this week.
Perfect. I'm glad to see that you went back to calling him Andrew Luck there, because I was like, Andy Luck, are we on first name terms with him now? We're even sort of giving him nicknames. Andy, oh, okay, you know him. Nice work. Fair play. No, that's a great shout. You can only beat what they put in front of you, as they say, and he did have a great performance against Jacksonville. And in that game, just quickly, obviously, we got to see Blake Bortles, didn't we, for the last sort of two free drives in that game. So I think Blake Bortles managed to finish with two touchdowns and two interceptions to his name in the end. So fair play to him as well. Marcus, who is your runner-up?
You could not have created a better link if you tried, because my runner-up is Blake Bortles.
Hey! Strictly
love it when a plan comes together.
Yeah, exactly. I do like it when they work like that and we link it together rather than stealing each other's award ease. Which has been known to happen, Lewis. You may have heard of the last couple of shows that Marcus decides that when I let him go first, he's going to put my winner as his runner-up and his runner-up as my winner and all sorts of carnage like that. But so Blake Bortles, Marcus, before I digress too much.
Yeah, consider, yeah, I mean, basically the reason I gave him only runner-up this week is because he came in the second half, there was absolutely no offense, they'd been shut out at half-time. The changes made, the Jacksonville fans love it. And, you know, he does make that impact because he sort of, he reignited the team, like 223 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions. The guy's still learning, 30 yards running. He's got that maneuverability. But I loved everything about the fact that he's coming on. It's a difficult situation to come on when you're like 30 points down and you're basically being thrown into the Lions and sort of sat there going, go on, son, see if you can do any better. And he did. He stepped up. He put points on the board. He got, I don't know, he got the crowd celebrating. He got the team just looked more like, how do I say, that first half against Philadelphia when there was some belief in them and they played with some vigour. It seemed like he just came on and bang, the team was impacted. They wanted to play for him.
Yeah, fair play. And do we think that Blake Bortles is going to start next week?
See, that's exactly what I was just about to ask, Adrian. Yes. Yeah, I think you've got a very good question there, man. Is he in the running, Marcus, do you reckon, to start the position next week?
Oh, yeah. He is starting next Sunday.
Nice. Like it when you keep it short and sweet like that. So, my runner-up for the award is going to Devin Hester. I couldn't go this week without putting in the record-breaking, standing all on his own now, beating Deion Sanders in punt and kick return touchdowns. I couldn't go this week without putting him in somewhere. So he is my runner-up with his punt return touchdown. And to be fair, you could have had him as a defensive impact player as well, because in the same game, he also forced a fumble. A great game all round for him, but more importantly, what an achievement. He's in his ninth season, only his ninth season, and already he has had 20 return touchdowns.
That's impressive. That really is.
Is that all you got to say on that one, Marcus? Fair enough. Okay, so we come on now to both mine and Marcus's winners of the awards. And Marcus, who is your winner?
My winner, in true Marcus fashion of just having to be awkward, my winner is Devin Hester.
Hey! Brilliant. Yeah, it was my turn to mess you up this week then.
I just thought because he was like you said, he created the fumble, punt return, and also he had that one run for a touchdown, 20-yard run for a touchdown,
yes,
and a reception for 25 yards. He was doing everything. Offensive, defensive,
special teams.
And special teams. You couldn't make more impact than on all three phases of the game.
So they needed 53 Devin Hesters. Although, to be fair, Matt Ryan and some of the receivers did all right, to be fair. But, yeah, Devin Hester had a great game, didn't he, all round in what turned out to be an absolute blowout of Tampa Bay.
Definitely. I mean, that was absolutely unreal. I think, and they definitely, I think without a shadow of a doubt, they showed, easily showed Falcons, what they are capable of. So it makes me even more excited to see the older Lions-Falcons matchup when they come over to the older UK in October.
Although they will technically be the away team, I believe, and it's out in the open. So hopefully they'll bring their A game, because obviously they were back at home inside the nice warm dome. But yeah, let's see what happens. Hopefully they will. Detroit-Atlanta's going to be a great game, and if they live up to their expectations. And hopefully Calvin Johnson, despite going down with an ankle injury this week, will be fit to play in that game.
Yeah.
So my winner this week, and talking about the Atlanta game, is Julio Jones, just showing what great plays he can make. I don't know if you've seen, I know you've seen it, Lewis, but Marcus, have you seen Julio Jones's catch, the second touchdown catch, I believe it was, that was about 30-40 yards over his shoulder, getting glare from the lights, and kind of half slide, half jump into the end zone?
I probably have watched it in the highlight package, but it's just something that he brings to the game, really. You're sitting there, you know, last year when he went out, it just wasn't that dynamic to Atlanta, and I'm so glad they got it back. And you saw it, you know, a defense that doesn't want to show up and actually contend on the day is going to get blown out like it was.
Yeah, so coming back to Julio Jones, firstly, I'm going to put him as a link in the Marcus and the Mind Blowers plays, that touchdown, so you can see it in there, Marcus. And his stats on the day, 9 receptions, 161 yards and 2 touchdowns. And when you first see his touchdown, you may not necessarily think it's that great, but it's when they slow it down and you look at everything about the catch, from the way he has to track the ball from one shoulder over the other, the fact that the ball placement as well is, and just the way he ends up coming down with it. Trust me, when you see it, it will look a lot better in slow motion, and you get to see the fineness of the catch. So congratulations then to both Devin Hester, Julio Jones, and Lewis, your winner, who was?
Andrew Luck.
Thank you very much. Congratulations to all them on their awards. Now we come on to the Mr. Ray Lewis Award. Now, Lewis, do you have anything for us on this one, my friend?
I don't as much really have a specific player, but in my defence, again, no pun intended there, I'd probably say if there's one defence, like defensive line that I had to award this to, so to speak, I would probably say it would go to the Seattle Seahawks, because although they did allow a few completions, you couldn't get anywhere. Like they shut you down straight away. So I think in that sense, they definitely did. Although there wasn't much in the way of interceptions from Mr. Sherman and such, I think although the passes were made, they definitely shut down Peyton Manning's arsenal quicker than what he'd like.
So are you going for the whole Seattle defense then, sorry, or are you just their secondary?
I'd probably say the secondary.
Where do we think Mark stands on that one, Marcus? We know he doesn't like team selections, but a group of players in the secondary, do we think that's kind of borderline okay, or do you reckon he's going to get mad? Maybe he'll tell us in a minute, but what do you reckon?
I guess there's only one way to find out.
Cue producer announcement.
No, 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 no. Hell no! 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 I refuse. No!
Okay, well, glad to hear his thoughts there. Brilliant. So, who is your runner-up, Marcus, for the Mr. Ray Lewis Award?
My runner-up this week is going to go to Nate Irving, linebacker for Denver Broncos.
Nice. It's good that someone in that Denver defense gets a mention, actually, as we were saying earlier, how well they played against Seattle.
The entire defense brought them back into the game, but I mean, Nate Irving, you just looked at it. Every single sort of play, he's almost there. I mean, you only had 2 tackles, but how about 11 assists?
11 assists, really?
Wow.
11 assists? He was everywhere. He was getting involved in every play. He wanted to make sure when he's when Lynch was being tackled, he's not getting that extra yard or 2 or 3 yards dragging the defender with him. And of course, he helped as well.
Stop. Yeah, the big stop on the goal line.
On the safety. Yeah. Exactly. He was in on the safety as well. So he really took himself into the game, sort of as a linebacker should do, and sit there and go, I'm going to stamp my authority on this game.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I was going to say, sorry, he had the big stop on their own goal line where Lynch was about to go in, but Irving just stood him up and kept him out, just one-on-one, just completely took him out.
Oh yes, that one, sorry, I had the safety in my mind, but yeah, so that's what I'm saying, he really makes sure, like I said, linebackers are there to stamp their authority in the game, and he did.
Yeah, fair play.
Authority.
Yeah, he did respect his authority. So I'm going to come on to my runner-up now, And I actually went with Jelani Jones, second-year linebacker for the Miami Dolphins. Again, had a big game, I thought, this week. 11 tackles, 1.5 sacks, and a forced fumble. Just generally speaking, what more can you say other than well played? Now, let's move on before I embarrass myself any more to the winners, Marcus.
My winner this week, because he generally came in, you know, it's not, like we said, it's not about the stats, it's what you do to the game and how you affect it. And so, therefore, my winner this week...
Wait a second. In case it's the same as mine, which I think it might be, I'm going to go with 20 questions here just to see if we can get the same answer. It's either going to go incredibly well. Lewis, feel free to join in. is he a cornerback? Okay, then carry on.
Wow, that's... I'm going to say incredibly bad.
Yeah, that went incredibly badly. Feel free to ignore this.
I best do this very quickly then, so less embarrassment. Mine goes to DeAndre Levy, linebacker for Detroit Lions.
Ah, fair play. Yeah, he's been having a few great weeks, hasn't he? And we see a great interception from him the other week, so.
Yeah, 9 tackles, 1 assist. He seemed to be in on all the big third downs that stopped all the Green Bay drives.
He was, and that's impact, isn't it, when you come in like that and you're making all the key plays.
It's about getting off the field, letting your offense get on, because of course it was one of those games where defense played heavily in it. At one point, when I kept seeing Stafford wasn't really having a great start to the game, I feared that the Detroit defense might actually buckle under what is a great Green Bay offense, but yeah. They just seemed to keep them in check and just sat and went, right, you messed up the last set of downs. Can you do something on this one? And sooner or later, it was the other way around. It was the Green Bay defense that buckled under the weight of the Detroit.
It was very true, yeah.
Okay, so to continue 20 questions, is he a linebacker?
No.
Brilliant. So my winner for the Mr. Award goes to someone who we mentioned, I believe it was last week actually, and that is Kyle Fuller of the Chicago Bears, or as they're otherwise known,
the Bears.
So yes, Kyle Fuller, 7 tackles, 1 interception, 2 forced fumbles. And again, in general, as part of that entire Chicago defense that just clamped down and forced Geno Smith into all those turnovers. And Marcus, you were asking last week, or saying, in fact, that you think that Peanut's going to be, or Charles Tillman's going to be a big miss at cornerback for the Chicago Bears. But do you know what, mate? They may have even had an upgrade.
You know what? He's probably the best NFL-ready rookie I've seen this year.
And you think worthy of another award winner, because I believe he was runner-up last time.
Yeah, he was runner-up, wasn't he? Definitely well-deserving of going up in the standings to a full win this week.
So, congratulations then to Fuller, to Levy, and to the Seattle secondary on their Mr. Ray Lewis Awards.
Spanhead Productions are a small independent sound recording company based in rural Hertfordshire. We specialise in creating content for all your podcasting needs, whether it be field recordings, Fox Pops, or capturing the atmosphere during social events. Editing is a very time-consuming job, so Spanhead Productions are on hand to take away some of the burden for you. Just advise us on how you'd like your content to sound, and we will do the rest. We can even help you design and manage a website for your podcast too. Visit us now, spanheadproductions.weebly.com. That's spamheadproductions.weebly.com.
Now we look ahead to the week 4 action, and predictably, I want to start this section by talking about the international series coming up at Wembley this weekend. So the game will be played on the Sunday, but there's always lots of fun and fan events around the game on the Saturday. So the first international series game of this 2014 season, which of course we are getting 3 international games this year. So not one, not two, but count them. Yes, 3 international series games. This week we have Oakland Raiders playing host to the Miami Dolphins, which does unfortunately mean that the Dolphins cheerleaders won't be coming over.
Aww.
Yeah, and for all of those who have seen the Call Me Maybe video on YouTube, you will know exactly what I mean. Now, so for the fans, as I was about to digress there into a world of depravity, which I probably should leave for a different podcast. the fan events start on Saturday, and in true British fashion, we are having a street party in Regent Street in London, where they close off the entire street, and there's lots of stands. There's a stage where they'll have interviews with the coaches and the players. They'll have the Raiderettes cheerleaders performing. There'll be Hall of Famers on stage. Just in general, it is a great atmosphere on the street party. I had the privilege of going last year. Strongly recommend everyone checks out the video I'll put in the show notes from NFLUK.com of the Regent Street party. Well, that worked quite well. Actually, Regent Street Street Party or Regent Street Party, whichever you want to call it, from last year. A great day out for the fans, which, Lewis, you're going to get to experience with us this year.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a great day. It'll be good to see what they get up to. Went to my first international series game last year, which was Jacksonville 49ers. So I'm really looking forward to the Oakland Miami game and see what they've got in store for us at the Regent Street party.
Excellent. Well, we also hope to see a lot of you, our listeners, there on Saturday, so look out for the crazy guy in the Marshawn Lynch Buffalo Bills jersey, accompanied by some Dolphins, Packers and Ravens jerseys. Hopefully we'll see as many of you as there on Saturday as we can. It'd be great to catch up with you. And just to finish off on the international series, you touched on it briefly there, Lewis, but I'd like to kind of get both of your memories or impressions of how you think the international series games have gone so far. Coming back to yourself again, Lewis, firstly.
I've only seen one, and that was last year watching Jacksonville. I think it was an absolute great idea. The tailgate party at the beginning of when and like before the game started was is a great vibe. Everybody gets into the spirit of it, seeing all like the interviews with Joe Montana last year, and all the the drum lines and things like that. Everybody getting in the mood for it. But the best thing about it is now, because they were successful with the last year, they've now bought 3 games back. So I'm hoping again it'll be 3 games next year, if not 4 at a push. But I think it's done so much, because you get fans from all over the world to come watch these games, as well as fans from all over the UK. So it's it's really really quite something, and I look forward to the 3 games this year, and I really can't wait.
Yeah, definitely. And how about yourself, Marcus? What are your lasting impressions of the international series so far? Because I know you've been to quite a few.
Mine is the Giants Miami first game. I've been to them all so far, and it's nice to see how it's grown every year. They keep adding bits and pieces. The fact that they make a whole weekend out of it, trying to get that sort of celebration of the NFL going on with the Regent Street party, then into the big day, and you've got the whole tailgating, and they keep us entertained for the entire day, try and give us that American feel. And then, of course, the game is just electric, because there's jerseys from every single team, every single team in the world. The amount of sort of personalised team jerseys you see as well, sort of amateur teams, university teams, it really is. It's like the entire American football community just gatecrashing Wembley for one great day.
Yeah, it's going to be a fantastic game, and with both teams really looking for a win this Sunday, I think it's going to be a game of high tension, not necessarily high quality. Hopefully I'll be proved wrong on that, but certainly a great atmosphere, and we'll see what happens. And the only other last thing I just wanted to say on this is that with Oakland in town, we have the return of Menelik Watson. Obviously he'll get the chance to play at Wembley, hopefully. And also, thinking of Oakland, they have the tight end Rivera, whose sister of course is in Glee, so hopefully she will also be over for the game, and hopefully I'll get the chance to see her as well, see Naya Rivera. That would be lovely. So we'll just finish off this section then. No swings this week, apart from my thoughts about Miss Rivera. We'll start. Oh. There you go. See, I put it out there. See what happens. Maybe she'll hunt me down. Nice.
What's up, big boy? Let's go.
Nice job. Way to get us over there, babe.
I got you, babe.
Hey, old school game. This is our game, right? This is our kind of game.
Just finish off with a few games that we're looking forward to in the week four calendar. I say no swings, but Lewis, I'm going to come to you first, my friend. Are there any particular games that catch your eye looking forward to this week four schedule?
Oh yeah, of course. You can't forget the good old NFC North rivalry. Green Bay take on the Chicago Bears. I'm really looking forward to that. We put them in their place last time in a championship, in the playoffs, sorry, so we could secure ourselves a spot in a championship. So I'm really looking forward to kind of seeing, you know, Jay Cutler, as much as I hate saying this, you know, he has been on form recently, and so of the Bears defense. So I'm quite excited to see how we get on there, but also probably going to say I think I'm quite looking forward to the Carolina Ravens game. I reckon that'll be something worth watching. But I think my main game that I am looking forward to is definitely Green Bay taking on our Chicago Bears.
Yeah, well, the Panthers Ravens has got defense written all over it, I think, hasn't it? To be fair, with you, the way that you look at both teams are playing at the moment and their strengths and weaknesses, I think that's going to be the key there, and it'll be which quarterback manages to find their receiver first, almost.
Yeah, definitely. I can agree with you more there. I think, yeah, we'll see how the game gets on. But I think, yeah, like you said, as they're both defensive teams, it's definitely going to be right down to the wire who's going to come out successful on that one. But I think it's definitely down to the quarterbacks to find their receivers.
And coming back to the rivalries, of course, sometimes you can't get better than an NFC East rivalry. And I'm thinking there of the Giants and the Redskins, who also face off again this week. So the first of their meetings this season. Now, with the Giants having come off their big win this week against the Texans, the Redskins reeling from their division defeat against the Eagles. Yeah, it should be a great game to watch, and we'll see if Kirk Cousins can tear up that giant secondary, which
definitely,
to me, doesn't really look all that.
No, yeah, definitely. And I think, like you said about the Eagles game, I think those guys, the old Redskins, are going to have to, you know, they know they've got something worth to prove now, and they're going to definitely, I think they're going to pull out all the stops against the Giants, because the Giants come off the win, like you said, and you know, it's up to them to keep everything together. But I definitely think the Redskins are going to give everything they've got to kind of show the Giants, you know, who's boss.
So yeah, they're the games we think should be good matchups this week. But how about yourself, Marcus?
For me, it's Philadelphia going into San Francisco. That stadium needs its first win. Will they get it this week? I'm not sure. Philadelphia, always a high-flying offense, but there's always that potential that San Francisco don't turn up on the day. They haven't been turning up in the last couple of weeks. They need to flick on a switch and sort of work out what it is they need to do. You know, they call it the Field of Jeans, Levi Stadium. Well, at the moment, a little bit torn and tattered.
Wow, stick to the innuendos, buddy.
I'm branching out.
Yeah, perhaps you shouldn't. Sorry, that's a little bit mean, isn't it? But yeah, on that Eagles and 49ers game, the 49ers in the second half of all their games this year, I don't think they've scored more than about 10 points.
There's something wrong. Something is definitely wrong there.
And it's not Stevie Johnson, because Stevie Johnson is still the man, even though he no longer plays for the Bills.
And you can't blame the injuries either. You know, there's enough talent on that roster that they should be able to just next man up it all the way and it'll be fine.
Indeed. And on that bombshell then, we leave that there.
I'm eating burritos bigger than you. It's time to go eat, baby.
Let's eat.
You got some hungry dogs over here.
Apple! Orange!
Hot potato.
I don't want no crackers!
Hungry, man.
I gotta eat it.
Feed him, he hungry.
Man, you guys didn't eat your Wheaties this morning, did you?
We eating all day, bro.
We'll grind these guys up and turn them into little bitty Eagle meatballs.
Finally, to finish off this week, with the NFL getting such bad press recently, I just wanted to take the time to remember that there are a lot of players out there who do a lot of work in the community, and two examples which I've seen today are going to be the ones I talk about and bring to your attention. The first is Brandon Marshall. Now, a lot of people will remember him for his early years at Denver and his years at Miami, where he went through a whole heap of controversy himself. However, as some of you may or may not know, it's actually because he was diagnosed with a borderline personality disorder, which was causing his behavioural issues. So on the back of that, he himself is still looking to obviously fully recover, but he is taking that, well, he calls it the platform of NFL, to use that to promote awareness through his foundation, which is the Brandon Marshall Foundation. And here is just a brief insight into what they do. The Brandon Marshall Foundation is a non-profit organisation committed to raising unprecedented awareness about mental health through education, support, research and treatment funding. If you see Marshall wearing green boots this season, which he tends to play in, it is because of his foundation and the colour of the mental health awareness. Now, last thing I'll say on this as well is that we're going to put a link to the Brandon Marshall Foundation in the show notes so you can get fully up to speed with it, is that the slogan on their page, and it's quite a true statement, I believe, quite a profound statement: what you do for yourself dies with you. What you do for others lives forever. And through his foundation and through all of his work, through his money, using the platform of the NFL to promote awareness of mental health issues, he's really making a difference to the communities. And I'm not sure if either of you guys have either seen that the most recent Football Life on Brandon Marshall, or what your thoughts are there, that, you know, the good that's going back into the community using football as a platform to do that.
I did see it. It was amazing to actually see, you know, what he had to struggle through. The fact that he went from not understanding it himself, just knowing that something was wrong and taking the steps himself, you know. This wasn't a forced move by the NFL. He chose to adapt his life.
Yeah, and for the better as well, really. And I think, again, the fact that he's then putting back into the community and trying to bring a worldwide awareness to the mental health issues that affect everybody. And again, there's a link to his foundation in the show notes. I strongly recommend you go to that site to read up a little bit more about it, because it is very educational. And lastly, this one will also make Lewis happy, as it mentions one of his favourite players. That is, yeah, Aaron Rodgers. I have today watched a video with Aaron Rodgers from his own website. Well, the Twitter hashtag is #itsAaron. The website is itsAaron.com. And in his latest short video, you see Aaron Rodgers surprising the sister of a little boy he knew who sadly passed away due to cancer. She thought she was just going to be doing an interview about her movement that she's trying to start, which is getting everyone to wear gold in the month of September, again, to promote awareness of child cancer. And she thought she was just going to be talking about that. And then Aaron Rodgers rocks up. And it's like, well, I'm going to be with you today. We're going to spend the day together. You know, should we go out and try and raise some awareness? And they go out and they knock on all the local neighborhood doors. And you just see that the amazement in people's faces when they open the door and it's like, oh, it's Aaron Rodgers. What's he doing at my door? And he goes on to explain it's Aaron Rodgers, and it's Annie is the girl's name. I'm going to put the actual YouTube video itself in the show notes, and there'll be a link to the Aaron Rodgers website where you can see this episode plus the previous episodes in the series. They're only short videos. They're about 5-6 minutes each, but you can see the impact his appearance and the fact that he takes time out to care for these people, and shows his appreciation for everything they've been through, and it promotes awareness of the various different charities in the local area. So definitely great to check out. And again, I say it'll all be in the show notes, and it's just great to see. That's just two examples of high profile NFL players giving back to the community and trying to make a better place and not just worried about bringing home the dollar and making everything I'm all right, Jack.
Just to add to that, I actually watched that as well and I thought it was absolutely incredible. So yeah, further to what Adri said, guys, definitely worth the watch, you know, and I guess, you know, so, you know, if there's anything that can be done to raise awareness, you know, do what you got to do. But yeah, definitely worth checking out. And as Adri said, it'll be in the show notes.
Yeah, and even if it's just doing what I've done, it's just changing your Twitter profile page or your Facebook profile page for the month of September just to the little gold pin to raise awareness. You know, it's a start at the end of the day. And with awareness, hopefully comes funding, and with funding, hopefully comes cure. So let's leave that there for this week. All that remains for me to say is if you want to get in touch with us, remember...
Hey guys, if you want to get a hold of Audrey or Marcus, send them an email at ballhawksnest@gmail.com.
And also to say, firstly, Lewis, thank you very much for coming on the show this week, sir.
No, thank you very much for having me. It's been absolutely wicked. You know, hopefully it won't be won't be the last time.
Well, we'll let the audience decide on that one, or Marcus now. It's been brilliant having you.
You cruel man.
No, I'm really joking. Yeah, it's been brilliant having you on, Lewis, and we'll speak to you again soon. Marcus, my good friend, as always, it's been a blast. It's been a pleasure. It's been any other kind of pun you want to add to this equation?
It's been a pain in the ass. Absolutely. It's been brilliant.
You know that the producer's going to have to bleep that last word, right?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. just as long as you're aware. So
he's gonna hate me.
Absolutely. So to quote Top Gear on that bombshell, ladies and gentlemen, that is us. Our shows are available to download on iTunes. Our most recent shows are also rebroadcast on the 1800 online network, a link to which is on the side of the page. And until next time, football fans, stay safe, take care, and thanks for stopping by.